Father God, we come once more again into your presence. Yes. We thank you, Master, for shedding your precious blood on that cross, for helping us to understand that's the very power of God for the forgiveness of sin. Because your word says, apart from the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So Lord, we thank you, knowing that you did the work, knowing that you have provided, knowing that we can only be right with a holy God if we accept the provision that you put in place. And the only provision that you put in place is when your son died on that cross. So Lord, help us to understand that is the only work that you're going to accept. And to understand that opens the door to all other blessings in our life. So Lord, have your way. Renew our mind. Renew our spirit. To join what you are doing and not what we want. So Lord, have your way. Thank you, Lord, for a church called Edify Community Fellowship. That we may proclaim the truth of what you are proclaiming throughout the world. Not religion, not all this other stuff, but a true and living relationship with the true and living God. So Lord, have your way. And we will continue to give you all the praise and the glory. And the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer, say amen.
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 In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now, if you have your Bibles handy this morning, can you stand to your feet? The scripture that Deacon Brown read already, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, is the scripture that our text is coming from this morning. St. John chapter, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Verse 3 says, by this we know that we have come to know him. If, notice the condition, we keep his commandments. That's convicting right there. But the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, and in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we have, that we are in him. And the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. You may be seated. ST this morning, sermon text this morning. Knowing is understanding. If you know Christ, then you have an understanding. If you don't know Christ, you don't have an understanding. The world is in darkness because they don't know him. I'm asking you this morning, do you know God?
Amen.
Do you know him? God comes down in the cool of your life every day and he asks you, what's going on between you and me? Because what you are doing and thinking is proof if you know him. Do I need to ask that question again? Is what you're doing and thinking is proof if you know him. Is his character being revealed through you right now? His ways, his attributes, his desires. Now let me just throw a big rock out this morning. If Jesus is saying something that's boring to you and you don't like it, the problem ain't him. Are you listening?
Come on.
If you say reading God's word is boring and I ain't interested in it, it ain't Jesus with the problem. If God has made you to do something, then guess what? You need to do it. See, if you don't do what he's asking you to do, you're telling him, I don't know who you are. See what it says in verse 3? By this we know. Now, as I got to studying this, even as I was sitting in the office, I got to see the difference between the plural, which is the body of Christ, the whole church, when it says we know, and then when it says know by itself. So pay attention next time you study the Bible. Now, I'm not going to get into that today, but I want you to see, when God makes a statement, a blanket statement of we know, that's something that the whole church should be recognized. But when he says no by itself, singular, he's asking you, do you know? He says, that we know that we have come to know him. Do you know him?
All right. Amen.
I say, do you know him?
Amen.
Let me just give a review of what we've been preaching on for the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months. 5 things you need to know and remember, because it has a lot to do with what you understand about God. Mm. First of all, God is sovereign.
Yes.
Psalms 103, verse 19. God said he has established his thrones in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Whatever's going on the earth, guess what? God is sovereign. It happened because he allowed it.
Mm.
And I'm going to ask him about slavery, okay? God say, he's good. Do you know God is good?
Mm.
Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good.
Amen.
If the Bible say God is good, what does that mean?
He's good.
He ain't got nothing to do with your feelings.
Mm.
And you might think, well, God ain't right by allowing this happening. If a good God wouldn't be letting this take place. God say, I'm good. And if God say he's good, that means he's what?
He's good.
Third thing, God loves you. Do you know God loves you?
Amen. Thank you.
See, if you don't let that sink in your spirit, you're going to let some of the things that happen to you in your life make you think God is against you.
Yes.
Romans 5 and 8 said, God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you believe God loves you?
Yes.
What's the fourth thing you need to know and remember? God desires an intimate relationship with you.
Yeah.
You know who's keeping you from being intimate with God?
Yeah.
Don't be pointing at somebody else.
Mm.
You are the problem.
Mm.
Remember what we said? If God is speaking to you and God's word is saying something and you have a problem with it, it ain't him.
Mm.
Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28, God says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you what?
Rest.
He'll give you rest.
Mm.
And the Bible said, there's no peace, my God, to the wicked. A lost person can look all over the planet. He's never going to find peace till he accepts Christ. And what's the fifth and final thing we need to let it sink in our spirits? And this is the most important one. God believes in you and he pursues you. Do you know God was seeking after you even before you were born? Psalm 56 and 9 and also Romans 31, Romans 8 and 31 says, God is for us. You know God is for you?
Amen.
So when you remember those 5 things, it's going to help you when you go through adversity.
Mm.
So let's begin this sermon today. Sermon text number 1. I want you to pay attention to all the text this morning. Sermon text number 1. First of all, we already read 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. We're also going to read 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. And then we're going to read Proverbs 1 and 7, Proverbs 4 and 7, Proverbs 2, 4 through 6, and then Proverbs 9 through 10. And then the last of all, we're going to look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 33. So you got your seatbelt buckle up?
Come on.
Because sometimes it gets a lot of turbulence when you're flying the flight with God.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't life get a little rough sometimes?
Amen.
He says back over in 1 John chapter 2, right there in verse 3, if you keep his commandments, you know him.
Mm.
Ooh, that's convicting right there. And let me meddle a little bit. What's the last thing Jesus told you to do? If you say, and you're on your way to heaven, he should have told you some commands personally for you.
Yeah.
And what do we call that? That's the Rhema revelation, the Rhema illumination. But there is a generic command he's given all of us. What's that generic command? That we love one another. If you're not being kind and loving to somebody, you need to ask yourself, Jesus, are you in me? Because that person that's being unloving to you is not the issue. It's what's coming from you that says what's in your heart. Are we teaching this morning?
Amen.
So you tell God what you know by your response. Do you know him? Do you know his ways? Do you know his attributes? Do you know his desires? Verse 3, verse 4 says, the one who says, I have come to know him. God's testing you this morning. He's going to be testing you next week. Do you know him?
Come on.
Because if you know him, he says, and does not keep his commandment, he says, you are a liar.
Uh-oh.
Are you lying?
Oh, Lord.
He's going to test you after church. relatives going to come and they're going to be doing and saying stuff to you, and are you going to show Christ-like character? Because if you do, the rest of that's going to be true. And truth is not in him. Verse 5. For whoever keeps his word and the love of God has truly been perfected. See, every day God is perfecting his character through you. What is that? That inner man. The day you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit getting rid of all that sinful junk that's in you.
Yeah.
All that stuff that you got in your mind. All that stuff you got in your heart. He's perfecting you. And notice, 1 John sees it as finished. See what it says?
Yeah.
Truly has been perfected. By this we know that we are what?
In him.
So that's the test every day. If you're responding Christ-like, guess what? That means he's in you. If you're not responding Christ-like, I got news for you. You lying. And you telling God that you in me, but you're not letting him be seen. You're lying. Let me ask you a question. How is Christ getting the glory out of your life right now? See, a lot of people wait until they get the glory. They wait until they die. But guess what? Your reward will be issued on how you're living right now. So if you're not making Christ a priority right now, guess what? You're going to be surprised when you get in glory. Because you might not have nothing. That ought to scare the jeebies right now and start living right. You hating somebody? And God told you to love them, then you're messing with your rewards in eternity. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 19.
Right.
Notice the plural again, talking to the church. We know. Everybody in here that named the name of Jesus ought to know this information.
Amen.
That we are of God. So wherever you're at, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, you represent Christ.
Amen.
Uh-oh. What you did yesterday, was that glorifying Christ? What you did last week, was that glorifying Christ? Look what it says. That the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You either will be glorifying Christ, or you will be glorifying Satan. Who's getting the glory out of your life?
Oh, Lord.
Verse 20. Notice it again. We know that the Son of God has what? He's showing up on the planet right now through you. And when you do that, look at the rest of the verse. You show that he has given you an understanding.
Yeah.
I understand that he died for me and I'm going to let it be seen through me. And when you're not letting him be seen through me, you're telling God, I don't understand. Have you been ugly to somebody lately? Then you're telling God, I don't understand. So that we, notice the singular, that we is singular, you may know. Do you know him who is true?
Yeah.
Do you know him that is true? And we, notice again, singular, are in him who is true, and his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and what is it? Eternal life. When you got saved, you got the eternal life of God living inside of you. You say, well, I didn't feel no different. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. That's why some of these gospel songs need to be adjusted, because sometimes we listen to our feelings more than what God say.
Amen.
I've listened to one song talking about, I feel. And God said, you ain't feeling nothing because I ain't showing up. When you're doing it Christ's way, you're showing him, you're feeling him. You know what the kids say, right? I feel you. Look what it says in Proverbs.
Come on.
See, Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You show God instantly every day what you understand about what he's now doing through you.
Yeah.
Why? Because fools despise wisdom and instruction. When's the last time you came to Bible study? When's the last time you got in God's word? See, and when you don't come to Bible study and get in God's word, you are ignorant of what God wants to do through you.
Yeah.
When is the last time you've been to Bible study? It's been a few years. What they say in that chili commercial? That's too long. See, God wants to be seen how you act and how you think. If he has saved you. So let me just ask this question. Has God saved you?
Amen.
Has God saved you?
Amen.
See, when you know God has saved you, you're going to let it be seen about how you respond.
Yeah.
Because when you got saved, you became a new creature.
Yeah.
Lies are not going to have that grip on you the way it used to.
Yeah.
Hate not going to have that grip on you the way it used to.
Mm.
See, that new nature is now going to take over because it's the very nature of Christ. Look what it says in Proverbs 4 and 7.
Come on.
The beginning of wisdom is acquired wisdom.
Mm.
See that?
Mm.
And with all your acquiring, King James says, with all your getting, get an understanding.
Yes.
The day you got saved, when we said it last week in last week's sermon, God started giving you an understanding. You start seeing things from a whole new perspective that you didn't have before you got saved.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's up to you. Are you growing in that understanding?
Yeah.
Are you growing in that knowledge?
Mm.
Are you growing? How do you grow? By the word of God.
That's right.
That's why you need to come to a Bible-based church teaching the word of God so the word of God can get into your spirit and you grow.
In him, yeah.
See, you can't grow outside of the word of God.
Or from God.
Are somebody getting this?
Amen.
Now, what I'm going to read now is Proverbs, the second chapter, verse 4 through 6. I'm going to read the NIV first, and then I'm going to read the NAS. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4 through 6 says that if you look for it, talking about wisdom and understanding, as silver, and search for it as hidden treasure, like a lot of us get up on that, go to work every day just to get that almighty dollar. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. And the Lord gives what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. And his mouth comes knowledge and what?
And understanding.
Do y'all see that? Let me read the NAS translation. Almost the same thing. He says, if you seek her, seek what? Understanding. What has God made you for? That's wisdom, as silver, and search for her as a hidden treasure. Then, notice the result? When you get busy looking, God can say, you're going to find me. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover what?
The knowledge
of God. What is the knowledge of God? That the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and what? And understanding. See, the problem with most of the people that say they're saved is they don't have an understanding. What do they have? A misunderstanding. And when you got a misunderstanding, how can you do what God wants? And God is always looking at, are you paying the price of proof? There should be a sacrifice that you're putting on the altar of the Lord every day, showing him you belong to him. Successfully defending his client in a lawsuit, an attorney presented him with an invoice. He said, you can pay $500 now, that's what the lawyer said, and then you can pay $212 a month for the next 36 months. And so the client said, well, that sounds like buying a car. And the lawyer says, no, he says, I am. There ought to be some proof if you say, showing God you his. It ought to be some proof of his lordship over your life. Have you been born again?
Amen.
Have you been born again?
Amen.
Turn, if you will, to Proverbs 9 and 10.
Amen.
Proverbs 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
See, you show God where your understanding starts. If you're really afraid and reverence God, you're going to respond by knowing who he is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
Of what?
Wisdom.
And what do we say wisdom is? Understanding. Notice what else it says. And the knowledge of the Holy One. And he said, just in case you didn't get it, is what?
Understanding.
Understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, understand the Lord God that saved you. Do you know him?
Oh, Lord.
I say, do you know him?
Amen.
Do you really know him?
Amen.
I said, do you really know him?
Amen.
Romans chapter 10 verse 9 tells us from last week's Bible study. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and receive him in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you know what the results will be? You shall be saved. Are you saved?
Amen.
I say, are you saved?
Amen.
If you're sitting here in the sanctuary and you're hearing me on the internet or Facebook and you have not trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, the Holy Spirit is knocking. You're going to stand before a holy God one day and he ain't going to address nothing but sin. And if he sees sin in you, he's going to condemn you. But if he sees his son that died on your behalf, you're going to be forgiven.
Amen.
Have you confessed it?
Oh, yes.
Have you confessed him as Lord?
Thank you.
And believe him in your heart?
Yeah. Then he is Lord. Yeah.
You got to confess him with your mouth.
Thank you. And believe in your heart. Thank
you. I like this. It says, a southern doctor said to the patient, he says, open your mouth. As he put that stick in your mouth, you know, you put the stick in the mouth of the doctor. And the doctor says, say, I will not sue. See, God said confession has got to be evident through your mouth, through your hands, and your feet. You show God who's your Lord. Every day, he's looking to see, is Jesus your Lord? If Jesus is not being seen through how you treat people, he's not your Lord. Because he got to be Lord and Savior. See, Lord means he's your master. You don't listen to how you think it ought to be done anymore. You listen to the one that saved you and how he wants it done. Are you listening?
Amen.
What I like about it is God gives you a new way of thinking. He gives you a renewed mind.
Yeah.
Philippians 2 and 5 say, have this attitude. King James says, let this mind be in you, in yourselves, which is also where? In Christ Jesus. When you got saved, God starts working on your thinking. You still thinking it's wrong, it's all right to cuss somebody out? Guess what? That means you got the problem. God done told you not to be cussing nobody. Didn't he say curse not? So you putting your four letter words on somebody? Then you need to work on it. At that moment, you telling God, you ain't my Lord. You done cuss somebody out on the freeway? Because they go, I'm going to tell you, because the pastor's proof, people going to pull in front of you and give you the finger. Because they done me a whole lot of times. But it's what's coming from you is showing where your lordship is. See, that's that, when you know God is allowing things, he's helping you to see. What's going on inside of you? Is my attributes there? Is your attributes there? Let's look at the final verse this morning. Mark chapter 12.
All right.
Mark chapter 12. Matter of fact, we got two more verses I want to look at. Mark chapter 12, verse 26. Give you this little scenario. This scribe came to Jesus. And the scribe came to Jesus. He says, one of the scribes came, heard the arguing, and recognized that he had answered them well. And he asked him, what commandment is the first? What commandment is the foremost of all? And look at verse 29. Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Are you doing that? Everything within you, are you honoring, obeying, and loving God? And God will turn around and show you the picture of the cross behind me. The vertical will have an effect with the horizontal. The horizontal means how you treat people, which verify the connection with the vertical. Verse 31. The second is like it. Y'all see it? This. You shall love your neighbor. How?
As yourself.
And there is no commandment greater than these. And then the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one and there is no one else beside him. And to love him with all your heart And with all your, what's that next word?
Understanding.
And with all your strength. And the one neighbor as himself. Inasmuch as then all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. God saw it say the proof of how you're responding godly shows if he's on the throne. Is he on the throne?
Amen.
And you got to learn to mortify your flesh. When you want to do something that you know God doesn't want you to do, don't let it out. Start praying. Lord, don't let me cuss him out. Don't let me go upside the head. Let me remove myself from this situation so that I may represent you in this, in your perspective. And see, the only way you're going to learn how to do that is you got to practice it. And God gives you an opportunity every day when you deal with people to practice it. And he wants to see, do you know me? Do you know me? Turn to Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Old Testament scripture. Anytime you do things Jesus' way, you're showing him you love. Anytime you do things Jesus' way, you're showing him obedience. Anytime you do things Jesus' way, you're showing him justice. Anytime you do things Jesus' way, you're showing him kindness. Look at what it says in Micah 6 and 8.
Come on.
It says, he has told you, and remember when God say he has told you, you know what that means?
He done told you.
Problem is, did you hear him? He said, he has told you, oh man, and that's generic, mankind, man or woman, what is good? And what does the Lord require? Of who?
Of you.
He ain't requiring it of nobody else. He's talking to you this morning. This is what I want and I'm expecting from you. But to do justice.
Yeah.
To love kindness.
Yeah.
And to walk humbly with your God. Remember what we just said? If you want to do justice. If you want to love kindness. If you want to walk humbly with your God. Then you have to do things Christ Jesus' way. Because when you're doing it Christ Jesus' way, you're showing him you're obeying him. You're showing him you're doing justice. You're showing him you're showing kindness. And you're showing I'm walking intimately with you, my Savior. Because this is what you would do. I'm doing it here on the planet. Am I helping you today?
Amen.
Do you show God that you're knowing him? Or are you showing God you don't know him? A boy said to another friend, he says, too bad you flunked that test. How far were you from having the right answers? And the other little boy responded, I was two seats back over. Copying off somebody else. God don't want you copying off of any other human on the planet. He wants you to emulate his son. He wants you to copy Christ's character, Christ's ways, Christ's attributes. Let me help you out. It's not in you to perform those things. He has to do it through you. And when he sees you being willing, he enables you to have his character. He enables you to have his nature. He enables you to have his attributes through what you say and what you do. Because this old body is contaminated with sin.
Yeah.
And so now you got to operate through the new nature, which is in Christ Jesus in you. Are we teaching this morning?
Amen. Yes.
So now we're going to conclude the message this morning. Knowing is understanding. Do you know him?
Amen.
When you do what Jesus said, you're telling him, I have an understanding. If you're not doing what Jesus said, you're telling him, I got a misunderstanding. And God never going to respond to nobody else on the planet but through who? Jesus. This is my beloved son. Hear him. And we said it earlier in the sermon. Is what Jesus is saying is not interesting to you. If what Jesus is saying is boring to you. If what Jesus is saying is don't seem right to you. Guess what the problem is? It ain't Jesus. It's the one that's what? That's hearing Jesus. Are you hearing him? We're going to open the doors of the church right now.